Okay, it's a pleasure to be here today and to tell you about my new research endeavor over the last maybe half decade, to try to see if there's ways to use all the large and vast amount of electronic health data that are out there to generate some near real-time surveillance systems. And here today I'm going to talk to you about some work we've done on influenza vaccine cover, tracking influenza vaccine coverage using private sector surveillance systems. We have parallel, I gave a talk this morning about rotavirus vaccination coverage. I could also give one about mumps or how to track pandemic disease or anything that is sort of happening right now could be done with this data. So in terms of background and why, what are we doing here, CDC has several sources of influenza vaccination coverage. There's of course the BERFRIS estimates that are random digit phone interviews that are conducted often, and people are asked if they had a seasonal influenza vaccine and when, and they're also asked if they had pandemic influenza vaccination now. And as a new thing, we have the National H1N1 Flu Survey, NHFS, and that's also a random digit phone system with targeting 1,500 interviews per week, and that's a special survey developed for this season, and that's probably the best data we have right now from the CDC side of things. And the question I'm going to be asking here today is, could these systems be augmented with private sector data as well? Is it possible we could improve the reported timeliness? Is it possible that we can automatize these systems so you don't have to run out and set up a new surveillance system every time you have a new problem? Could we improve flexibility with these data? For example, make it so you could address any age group, any geography, state, city, gender and risk groups, and so on and so forth using these data, because they're very flexible. And then in the end, could we track pandemic and seasonal influenza coverage simultaneously instead of having one set of information from one system and one from the other. And also look at dose uptake patterns at a really high spatial temporal granularity, in principle all the way down to the physician's office level. So today I'm going to tell you about two private sector data sources. One is a Sentinel ILI surveillance network, not unlike the one that CDC has. It collects clinical, demographic, and virological data from 15,000 patients with influenza-like illness that are seen in 400 primary physician offices across the U.S. each season. So this is a convenient sample, but it is represents 44 U.S. states, and the questions that the patients are asked is, did you get vaccinated with pandemic or seasonal vaccine, and no matter which setting it was, and with a date on it. So that's really useful information. I have developed too few slides for that one, but really this is the other possibility to use medical claims data, and the company that I'm working with has a 50% US collection of CMS 1500 data records. 50% of any physician office encounter is in their hands within a couple of weeks, and there you can see by CPT procedure code, you can see if they had the injectable inhaled vaccine. And you can see the administration code as well for vaccine for children. Children, for example, you would see the administration codes even though they're not charged for the vaccine in and of itself. And also you can use this to track disease patterns, and I'm not going to show this today to you, but we can see the first wave, the second wave, and pandemics all the way down to the city level with no effort at all, actually. So to start with the SDI Sentinel ILI surveillance network, so the physicians are simply instructed to test 2 to 4 patients per week, and they, with this definition similar to the one we had from Amy's talk, by fever and respiratory symptoms. And they're also collecting on forms the demographics, medical history, and so you can do high-risk, low-risk, current symptoms, vaccination status, and they are then all swapped and tested for influenza A and B test kits. And in other studies, we worked with NIH to actually get those who test positive to actually have the virus isolated and sequenced, so those things are uploaded in GenBank, and that's also something from this study. But this is basically what they have from this season. As of April 16th, the system has seen some 12,000 influenza-like illness patients, and the red indicates the lab positives. You can see that it's mostly in that second pandemic wave during September to November 2009 that those were picked up, and then a little bit later on. And then you have the lab negative for influenza in blue. And the week of visit is on the x-axis there. And the number of patients you can see, it ranges from some 200 to 1,000 patients seen by every week. And if broken down by age, the same graph exactly, you can see that the representation is great for children and adults under 65, and not so great for the 65 and older. So just bear in mind when I show you data that there'll be less of a sample for those for the older people. So to generate a vaccine coverage estimation system, we're using a case-negative approach similar to one we heard about this morning that has been used for documenting rotavirus vaccination effectiveness in Texas. You simply define the cohort you're looking at, the population proxy, is all ILI patients who test lab negative for influenza virus. And then you can go and stratify by whatever you want, by age groups, anything, because you have the 18 years there, spatial temporal patterns, pandemic versus seasonal, injectable versus inhaled, and also you can stratify by high risk status. And then what I think is really key, and what we've worked actually with Gary Euler and others at CDC, is to say, so you have this system, but how does it compare to systems we are comfortable with and where we know who actually got vaccinated? So we've used buffers for past years' estimates to try to validate what we're doing here against well-known vaccination coverage rates. And this is what it looks like. We are looking here at the data from the 2008-2009 season, so not this current one, but the one before. And you can see that for all these age groups here, we're looking at under 2 years, 2 to 4 years, 5 to 17 years old. And for 18 to 49, we're doing high risk only, and 50 to 64 and 65 years old. So you can see in all these age groups, it really is very comparable what you get from these two systems. And here we're looking in terms of comparing with the NHFS, the new surveillance system, for the they have an estimate of 1+ dose coverage for pandemic vaccine around January 1st, 2010. So we did exactly the same. We cannot do exactly January 1st. They have 1 week around January 1st. We did the period all patients seen during January in our surveillance system there, and that's 1,000 patients approximately. And so we had from age NHFS some 1,500 patients. And you can see in all these age groups, again, we have a very comparable vaccine uptake for pandemic vaccine. It is 33% for kids under 5 versus 26% in our system, 28% for kids 5 to 18 with a confidence rate of interval of 22 to 35%. Oh, I guess we're a little under there with 18. Then we have 8 adults from 19 to 64 years old, also within the range. It's not really within the range, I'm sorry, it's a little lower. And then for seniors, we have the 65-year-olds at about the same rate. So the NHFS data was from MMWR from January 2010. And it would be very nice to see the other weeks from that system to see how stable the estimates are in that system. And now I'm going to show you data of how stable is the data are from our system. You see from this is really an graph showing the uptake month by month. So what you're looking at in the colorful graphs, the first set is for children under 5 years old in October, November, December, January, February, March, and then the combination of February, March to stabilize the estimate. And you can see that in the end of the day, 25% of under 5 years old were vaccinated, and 16.9% of the 5 to 17 years old were vaccinated with the pandemic vaccine, and 18 to 64 years old, 12%, and 65 years old, 29%. So what you're seeing is that the red bar is from January, so that's the one I used to compare with the NHFS estimates. But you can see after that there was a considerable extra uptake in the 65-year-olds, whereas the other age groups stayed relatively stable, maybe increased a little bit. But we can also do other things. We can look at the combinations, just look at all the people, in this case in the pie graph, who are under 18 years of age. There was 850 seen in January and February. And look at vaccination combinations. Who had both the seasonal and the pandemic vaccine? Who had no vaccination at all? Who had the pandemic only? And who had the seasonal vaccine only? And there you can see that 62% was not vaccinated. You had 5% only who had the pandemic vaccine only, and you had 15% with both vaccines and 18% with the seasonal vaccine only. And in the little graph, I'm just giving some a taste of what can be done with this data. We can do really a lot of other things. But in the little table on the bottom, I'm just showing the relative proportion of those who were vaccinated with influenza vaccine. Did they get the live or the TIV? And you can see that in our very current season for influenza seasonal vaccine, not the pandemic, the seasonal vaccine, you can see that, as expected, there's no live attenuated influenza vaccine given in the elderly, and not so much in the adults maybe, but in the kids 5 to 18, it's 30% of all doses given, and in the kids under 5, it's 10% of all doses given for the, and the rest is injectable. Okay, so now I'm going to switch gear and talk about the office visit claims data that comes from CMS 1500 forms. And we can use them as well to track influenza vaccine administrations, but only for those that are given in physician offices. So what happens here is that a doctor sees a patient and gives a vaccine and codes the diagnosis for whatever they had, baby well visit or whatever, but they also give the procedures of did they have a vaccine, which one was it injectable, was it live, and also the administration code. So you have all that information. They send the electronic claim right quickly to the switch, which is a company that specializes in directing these claims to the correct payer. But this company that has the data, I work with SDI, they actually purchase these de-identified HIPAA-compliant CMS 1500 records from these companies and attach a synthetic ID patients after stripping them for any identifiable information like names and date of birth and all of that. And in the end of the day, you can still track them over time with this synthetic ID. So that's the big database that's at hand, and it's very timely. It's 1 to 2 weeks of lag before these data are in. The sample size is 50% of all outpatient visits as seen in 300,000 physicians' offices. And it's very representative and democratic. It's all states, it's all ages, it's Medicare, Medicaid, and private payers as well. This is what it looks like. This is something we've done in collaboration with CDC, just tracking for the 2008-09 season and for the 2009 or 2010 season, the seasonal versus the pandemic vaccine. And so the green line is the 09-10 seasonal vaccine. You can see it was an early uptake relative to the 08-09 and then you have in the orange lower line there, you can see the uptake of H1N1 vaccine, which started more in October and continued for a longer time as the vaccine became available. So we try to just look at the pandemic vaccine uptake from the other system, from the system I showed you first. And you can here see that actually the vaccine uptake occurred well after the second pandemic wave because of the time it took to get the program started. So you can see in this picture that by March 09, the last set of bars, that the southern states actually had about half the vaccine rates compared to the northern states. And overall, 95% of all the vaccine doses were achieved after the green pandemic, second wave pandemic period there shown into the left of the graph. But at least the good news is everybody is ready now for the third pandemic wave, be it later on this season or in next year. So it's all good. So the conclusion is that the private sector has much to offer in terms of tracking vaccine dose administration and vaccine coverage. I've shown you data from the Sentinel ILI surveillance network, which can be used to track vaccines at the national level and regional level, but you can't go much deeper in. There's not enough patients to really look at the state level, but you can get a really good picture of vaccine received in any setting month by month as these patients are seen, and it tracked well against BIRFIRST data from past years. For SDI's last, but I should say for this system, what it doesn't matter that where the vaccines were given for the pandemic vaccine, because the patients are asked not where they got the vaccine, but just if they got the vaccine. And then we have this SDI large sample of CMS 1500 claims data, which can be used to track near real-time patterns in influenza vaccine doses uptake down to the city or state level. It's really very granulated. You can make any age group, and you can look at, but it's limited to vaccines administered in physicians' offices. So you have this temporal, spatial, temporal resolution. You can see patterns, but if it's any different from what's given in other settings, you would be limited by that to interpret the total numbers of vaccine doses given and whatnot. So I'd like to acknowledge my CDC colleagues, who have helped us work with to develop the best use of these claims data especially. We have Eric Kasowski and Dan Jernigan at the CDC Influenza Division, and we have Gary Euler and his colleagues at the CDC Immunization Division, and we have a big CDC contract where we're working on this. We also acknowledge the Roche for funding parts of the Central Influenza Network that I was showing data from. Thank you very much.